Again, I will try to use my theater voice, but if you can't hear me, please let me know. Please also know if you are being blown away by one of these fans but still want it going. A lot of them have a low setting, so you can turn it down a little bit to low if you're having trouble hearing or you're, again, kind of getting blown away. Well, as Lisa mentioned last week, we are in the midst of a series of gospel readings that focus on the sixth chapter of John's gospel. We actually have five Sundays. This is our second one, focusing on this reading, enabling us to go in depth. And if you remember what Lisa said, or if you weren't here last week she focused on the feeding of the 5,000 in John's gospel. So what you just heard follows that incredible event. In this gospel, which you heard a moment ago, Jesus tells the crowd to not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus later states, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I want to start with an important corrective, because I think sometimes this gospel can be misheard or misinterpreted. Jesus cares when people are hungry. He does not care that people are hungry. And in fact, he works to address their physical hunger. And we see that in the feeding of the 5,000, as well as our Old Testament lesson from Exodus, when God hears the cry of his people in the wilderness and provides them with food. Jesus is very concerned about physical hunger. While his disciples in the feeding of the 5,000 story, which appears in all four Gospels, Jesus is caring about this fact people are hungry. His disciples or students are getting extremely anxious, as I think I would, and maybe many of us would. You know, it's getting dark. These are huge crowds. Where are we going to find enough food for all of them? We have to think through the important logistics here. And in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the disciples actually argue for sending the people away to go find food on their own. Now, Jesus insists that the crowd be fed by him. And in John's gospel, the crowd is actually physically fed by Jesus. The multiplication of the loaves and fishes is not just a sign of God's incredible power and grace, although it is both of those things. But the feeding of the 5,000 is a sign that God cares for and has compassion for people and their basic everyday needs. But Jesus is also talking about something else here. He is talking about deeper hungers too. Meaning, who he is and what he was sent here to do. By identifying himself as the bread of life, he is saying that there is something about him and the work he's called to do that is essential to human life. It's something essential to human existence like bread, but also something more than just physical nourishment. I love the way that Jesus gets at his identity and his role as well as what God is up to through him by pointing to things that people are familiar with them And then just pushing them to go one step further. And think about what these things might look like in the life of faith. For example, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus early in John's gospel, he talks to Nicodemus about a birth beyond birth, the place Nicodemus is scratching his head. What do you mean to be born again? Nicodemus knows what birth is about, but Jesus pushes him to think about a birth in God that is beyond birth. With the woman at the well in chapter 4, Jesus talks about water that is beyond water, water that satisfies an even deeper thirst. And here in chapter 6 with the crowds, Jesus talks about bread beyond bread. Jesus takes things we know and uses them as metaphors, again, to push us to a deeper understanding of our life in God. During his time on earth, Jesus' life and his words always pointed to God and the things that God is up to in our very midst, large and small. While it's easy to look at something like the feeding of the 5,000, big and really impressive miraculous works of wonder like this, it is equally easy to miss the small but important ways that God is constantly giving life to us and to the world through the ordinary, the gesture, the word of encouragement, the provision of basic needs, the opening in a relationship we never thought possible, new beginnings. In our gospel, when the crowd asks Jesus what they must do to perform the work of God, he says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Now, when we hear this word belief, many of us hear assent to a number of theological propositions. Now, that is not what Jesus is talking about here by using the word belief. I would not say theology is not important. I think theology is very important. And I think one reason the main line is declining is because there is a lack of theological imagination. But here, Jesus, by using the word belief, is talking about something that you set your heart upon. Something you're setting your heart upon, and all your priorities, what you do during your work and your free time, how you treat those around you, how you relate to the natural world, how you view your material and physical resources as well as your time. That all points to what we set our heart upon. When we step back and look at the totality of our lives, what we are staking our heart on, are we staking our heart on Jesus? And do our priorities, does our calendar reflect this? And the belief that Jesus is talking about here, whatever we are staking our heart on, is also not so much about what we do, but about being open to God's work in our very midst. While God does call us to participate in God's healing, reconciling work in our families, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and in the cities and world, God has taken the lead. God is already at work in people's lives. God is already steps ahead of us. And part of our job is to step back and look and listen and pray and say, what is God already up to in people's lives? And how can we join up with that movement? We must be open and attentive to what God is already doing. making that critical time to listen and to wonder together. Belief also means the ability to point to God's abundance, the abundance of the bread of life in response to human hungers. What if we understood ministry, including our participation in Project Home, Loaves and Fishes, and the Blue House, as allowing ourselves to get so swept up in God's life and love that offering shelter to children and their families and serving people who are hungry a meal become revelations of God's amazing grace. We are all hungry for something. Some of us have struggled with ongoing food insecurity and physical hunger. Some of us hunger for meaning and purpose. Some of us hunger and thirst for justice, righteousness. Some of us hunger to be loved and valued for who we are. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let us take a moment to reflect on these words that are more than words, and to invite Jesus into our deepest hungers and longings. Amen.